this. You are either answering or ignoring God's call. You know, this statement gives some real information. First of all, it supposes that God's call is there. It's not that we are waiting to see if God calls us. God's call is there in your life, in my life. And you are either answering or ignoring God's call. And that's true in every person's life. You're doing one of two things. You're answering or you're ignoring God's call. Sometimes God does things to get us to be able to hear that call. Have you ever had someone, you know, you're trying to get their attention and you have to try to get it a different way? You know, you have to kind of get that figured out. And you're calling them, but they're not hearing, right? And you have to say it differently. If you have a parent, they probably use your first and middle name sometimes, right? We have one of our ladies in the church, and she comes in, and I'll use both her names. I'll say, Linda Earl, good to see you today. I'm not always sure which one I'm dealing with, Linda or Earl, but I just call her Linda Earl. That way I know, because certain behaviors tone a certain name. And so that's true biblically. You know, sometimes Jesus called Peter by Peter, and sometimes he called him Simon Peter. And so there's a reason for that. So I call her Linda Earl. My dad, one time when he was in the nursing home and he wasn't able to really speak and stuff, I would call my mom and I would let her talk to him on the phone because she couldn't get there a lot. And he would say, And he was doing that, and I was watching, I just started watching something on television sitting at the foot of his bed. And all of a sudden, he said, Clayton. And I looked, and it shocked me, and it shocked him that he said my name. And he was trying to give me the phone back. He'd been trying to do it for a while, but we just weren't hearing that. Years ago, my wife and I, we kept it while Lucas's parents were both active duty in the military. He was 14 months old when we took him in, and we started watching him for them. And while they were gone, she was going to be gone for about 3 months or so. And so we watched him, and we picked him up from daycare one day. And me and my wife started discussing what we were going to eat and what we wanted to eat. And we were going back and forth by a little bit. And I said, you need to decide what you want to eat. And all of a sudden, out of the back seat, in the car seat, we heard this voice scream out, chicken nugget fried fry. And we realized every time we were saying, what do you want to eat, he thought we were talking to him. And he had answered us. It also, we can actually remember, he's been saying that, hasn't he? But we have not heard him. So when he said it differently, we heard it. And sometimes God puts his call to us in a different way, so that we hear it. And when he does that, it helps us respond to his call. Isaiah has a very, very famous statement, a phrase, a response from Isaiah to God. And Isaiah is going to say, here am I, send me. Let's look a little bit about how that comes about. First of all, we want to lay the background again. If this platform represents the nation of Israel, it is divided. At this point in time, there's a north and a south. And it's not divided evenly near the middle as north and south. It's just that there's a few tribes that have stayed here. That's the southern kingdom. And that southern kingdom, they still have the temple of God. They have a form of religion. To them, they're still serving God, they're still religious, they still think they're holding on to God, but there's a lot of disobedience in their life. There's some things that they're just not doing, or they're doing that God said not to. This other side over here is the northern side, and the northern side had long just kind of left God and done things their own way. And this side has already fallen, and they're going to be taken away, and the nations, this side's getting weaker, and we've kind of seen this. God raises up a man named Isaiah as a prophet, and a prophet speaks to people on behalf of God. He doesn't stand and just randomly say weird sayings, you know. That's not what a prophet is. God gives him a message for people. Let my people know this. Tell them this. And he calls people back to obedience so that God can bless their life. We get in places in our life. I did in my life. You know my story. Many of you know my story, not all of you, but many of you know my story. I got away from God, and God had to give me a wake-up call and put me in a place where I was wanting to serve him again, where I wanted to be obedient to God because I knew God could not bless me when I wasn't obedient to him. And what God did is he took away so many things out of my life until I was just left with nothing but God. And I say that hesitantly because God left enough things in my life to help me rebuild my life. And when he did, it caused me to want to serve him. And God's taking this nation down to where they'll recognize, I want to get things right. I want to do it the right way. What he does, he's going to raise up Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And here is a great statement if you understand the setting, and that's what you're getting ready to do, understand the setting of this verse. When all the chaos in this world, and you're living in a day and time when kings were the types of God, they want to expand their kingdoms, and that's why this side has fallen, and nations are going out to conquer other nations, and this side is smaller and getting weaker, but yet there's been a king, King Uzziah, and he's been a good king and a strong king. He has secured things. He has kept them safe. He has actually made them prosperous, and he is a king that's had his faults. He actually goes into the temple where he's not supposed to be, and God plagues him with leprosy. He spends the remaining part of his years of life as a king, kind of separated from people. He transgressed against God. He had some issues, but God does work through this man. And Isaiah is saying this is something to happen. This good king that protected us, that served well, has died. Now that's hard. Because that leaves what? Uncertainty in our life. Isaiah is looking at a time, he's saying, at a time in my life when I saw the king die, where he was no more. In a sense, we realize how much we had depended upon this king for our protection. And he died. And we're without. What we were secure about in our life has been taken away from us. And that was a scary time. You're sitting here today, and there's been times in your life, and you may be in that time right now, and some are, where what you have been secure about in your life has been taken away from you. And all of a sudden, you're in the most uncomfortable position that you've ever been in your life. In the future, you're not sure about. A few months ago, someone could ask you about your present time, your future, and you could lay out things. Here's where I see it going. Here's what I hope for. And but now, you just said it. You say, I don't know. Many years ago, several of us that were a part of the church that was just trying to serve God, trying to hold on. All of a sudden, things happened, and we were very insecure. We did not know our future. We didn't know what would be. We did not know if there would be a church. We did not know where we would be serving or what we would be doing, and it hurt. Many of the people that are here today, many of you have come from places that God's brought you here because you came from a place of hurt. There was disappointment in your life. There was something that caused you to leave where you was because things had changed. And what was once comfortable and what was once familiar and what was once a security in your life had changed. And even in the place of worship, you had to find something new. And that's scary for everyone. And Isaiah said, this is where I was in the year that King Uzziah died. This is where I was. But notice what he says next. He looked beyond now. God lets him look beyond the earthly throne to which he was trusting in. And he said, I saw something else. I saw something more important. He said, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also what? Say it with me. The Lord. Let's do that again. I saw the Lord. Where was the Lord? Sitting upon a throne. Just think about Isaiah. He's here in this place in his life. And he says, look, I'm at this place where I'm looking at the throne, and it's vacant. And I don't know who will fill it. I don't know if he'll be a good king, a bad king. I'm looking at the throne, and there's no one there to take it. There's no one there to sit upon it. I don't care where you are politically and things. We're looking at a nation. No matter where you're at, there has to be insecurity in some sense. Our nation's not what it used to be in certain areas, and we don't know what our future is going to be. Isaiah said, but I saw that throne that was empty. And suddenly God let me see beyond that throne. And he said, I saw the Lord. And he was sitting upon the throne. The one that mattered. The throne that means everything. The one that's not ruling my little area that's crumbling. The one that's not just here that making me feel safe. I saw the Lord that sits on the throne that runs everything. This God, this Lord that's master of all, that's creator, that's given us everything. He said, I saw Him. And He was sitting on His throne. It's not vacant. I want you to know something today. No matter what you're going through in life, the throne of God is not vacant. No matter where our nation goes in this future, the throne of God is not vacant. No matter what's happening, where you're at, no matter what disappointment, no matter what failures are in your life, no matter what tragedies, the throne of God is not vacant. That's why we're able to pray to that God who still sits upon the throne. That's why in the midst of tragedy, our church could come together and pray for a family like this that says, hey, wait a minute, I want you to know something. There is still a God who sits on a throne, and we can pray, and that gives us hope. That gives not a hope that's a distant hope, but it gives us a hope that's a peace inside that says, hey, wait a minute, I know something for sure today. I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I don't know what the doctors are going to say. I don't know what jobs are going to say. I don't know what this is going to be. I don't know what the economy will be. But I do know this. There is a God who still sits on the throne. And I still have access to Him.
Amen.
One of the things that's interesting is Isaiah says, I saw Him sitting upon a throne. And then notice what He said. High and lifted up. He's above all these things. We tend to see this way. Sometimes we only see this way, right? And Isaiah said, when I saw God, I had to go by looking up. I look down when I feel sorry for myself. I look up when I see God. He said, I saw Him, and He was up. Above all these things. There's a God above these. Arlene, as you spoke about earlier, that when you went through the loss of your mother, there was a God who was above those things. There was a home that was vacant. There was a spot that was void, but there was still a God on our throne. And that God was still above all those things. And wherever you are in your life right now, there is a God. And when we looked back many years, 20 years ago, we came with broken hearts and we did not know what our future holds. There was one thing that we did know. We came together one night and just sat together in a room and we recognized this. There's still a God. He's sitting on the throne. And He's above all these things. And if He wants, He can build. And if He wants, He can rebuild. And He can put back together. And He can mold. And He can heal. And He can do all these things. And we had that kind of faith. And the church that you're sitting in right now was built on the very kind of faith that says there is a God sitting high above all things. And the reason that's important to know is because no matter what you face today, you need to recognize you're here. You're a part of a heritage that says there is a God above all of these things, and there's nothing that we need to fear today. I don't know our future. We've kind of shared this before. We've scaled back some things. We're coming to our 20-year anniversary, and originally we thought about it before. It's like, this is a big deal. What do you do when there's a big deal? You have a big blowout party, right? I mean, you just make it big. And I had big plans, and then God did something amazing. He opened up opportunity for us to purchase this land over here. So now not only do we have land that we couldn't get before and a building put on that we couldn't get before, we've got new land over there that we wasn't able to do before, but that's put us in a tight budget. Sometimes we just don't really know exactly, you know, how's this going to turn out? Well, I do know this. There's a God on His throne, high above all of these things, and I get to serve that God. And He's still in charge. And He's still in control. And when I go to pray, I'm not praying to an empty throne. I'm not praying to something of the past. I'm looking to a God who's done all these things, who's still high and still on His throne. Isaiah said His train filled the temple. That doesn't mean a lot to us as we think about that little statement, His train filled the temple, but it meant a lot to Isaiah. There's a reason he stressed it. This temple of God where they could go, only the priest, only the high priest could enter into the place called the Holy of Holies. And he could only go there once a year. He had to have that sacrifice. And that was where God's presence was manifested, where it was known to sit, to be, if you would, to preside, I guess. But everyone else is sort of excluded from it. Solomon had made a statement when God let him build the temple later. Solomon said, this building can't contain me. As a matter of fact, this whole earth can't contain me. And what he was saying is just that train of his garment, just that remaining part, just that lingering part behind it. If you understand what I'm saying, if you think about a bride, the only time we really think about a train much is a bride that comes in and one of the things that they'd really love to do is to build those trains really long and flowing. You had to have a squad of people to kind of help get them up there and not trip over. And he just said, his train filled not the Holy of Holies, not that in the holy place. It just filled up potent. What he's saying is there's a God that's full, that's big, that's bigger than you could ever imagine. He's saying God's not some small God that's stuck in a box over here in Ark of the Covenant. He said he's a God high and lifted up, and just even the very train of his temple, of his garment, just fills the temple. There are some times, we've come here through the years, and in all honesty, we've come here through the years sometimes, and the building's full like this, but it just may seem empty. You feel isolated, you feel by yourself, you come in and you leave, and you don't really feel a whole lot, and that's not the way we ever want it to be. Sometimes it's there's been some times, you testified to this earlier today, but sometimes you come in, and all of a sudden this place just gets full. I'm not talking about every seat gets full, I'm talking about God gets in here in a way that you just know. You're grateful for every person that's come in, but you also recognize that, man, God's making himself known. He's always here, but God's making himself known. I mean, known in a way. Hey, there's sometimes God just might fill up your car. You're just riding along, and all of a sudden it's you and God, and it starts to feel like you got to get out because there's not room anymore. I listened to a preacher one time. He was talking about going down the road, and he said people thought something was wrong, so I'm going to start to stop and see what was going on. He said, I got out of the car, and I was running around, and everything. And someone asked what was going on. He said, God got so full in that car. He said, it wasn't room for me anymore. He said, there's times in just the hospital room, God just gets full. There's times when it's just you and a loved one in their final days. When everyone else has walked away, left you alone, and all of a sudden God fills that place. There's times in your prayers and your devotions, and God just fills it. 20 years ago, 11 of us sat together and decided one night, there's a God, I lifted up, still wants us to stay together. 11 people, God filled that place with his presence. And we didn't decide we got to be the biggest. We just decided we always want God to fill with his presence. There's times you might walk in somewhere and you just feel overwhelmed that there's so many people. What we want is if you walk into a place like this and you get overwhelmed, that it's filled with the presence of God. That he's high and he's lifted up. But though he's high and lifted up, he's just so close. And so present. He's right there. He's with you. You're here today. Because God revealed himself to a group of people. He said, I'm here. I'm high. I'm lifted up. I'm on the throne. I'm over all of this. I got you. And I have a purpose for you. There's a reason for you to exist. See, down through the years, God looked down.
He said, I need you to keep this place open. And I won't provide it. And we didn't hear that argument. We didn't all sit down and write that down. Just say it. God said, somehow in our hearts, he revealed to us some things we need to know. This is important to you. God said, a few years from now, I'm going to send in a lady that's been hurting. I want you to show her what God wants. I will use this place to heal her. And I'm going to use her. Because later there's going to come a lady that's going to come in because her brother wants her to bring her. But what she doesn't know is I'm just using that to get her there. She's hurting. And we use you to help heal. But years from now, we'll send in a young man. Gone through a lot in his life. And I'm going to send him a wake-up call. I'm going to use you. Help establish you. I'm going to give him a wife. We'll give him a daughter. And I'm going to teach him. God looked down the road. He said, there's going to be a family. Out of church. I'm going to send them here. When they walk into this place, they're going to feel me. And I'm going to let them know this is where they're supposed to be. And I'm going to heal them. And I'm going to use them. I'm going to save their son through this place. Looked down and saw you. He said, they're going to go through some things in our life. They're going to hurt. And they're going to be a little displaced. But I'm going to miraculously build a building. Fill it with people that love me. They're going to walk in one day. They're going to feel the love. I want to teach the children what it means to be a Christian. He looked around and saw each of you displaced, hurting. He said, I want you to keep going. Because those doors are going to swing both ways. I'm going to send some in and train them. I'm going to send them out to serve. I'm going to send people in and give them an opportunity. Some will leave. Those doors are going to be open. You don't have the means to do it, but I do. I'm going to keep adding to this family. I'm going to make it close. I'm going to make it tight. And here's what I'll do. I'll fill it with my presence. Now this, I saw the Lord happen. But God looked down 20 years ago. You knew you'd have a son. But you didn't know you had one. You knew you'd have to raise him in this church family. Knew the day and the hour that he would call him to salvation. You're a part of something great. A great God who sits on a great throne. Whatever you're looking at in your life today, you need to realize this. Look up and see God. He's higher than today. He's already provided. Isaiah is going to say, God's going to say later, we'll get to it later as we go through. Look at verse 1.
God's going to say it in Isaiah's hearing, who shall I send? Who shall go for this? And Isaiah is going to be looking at that God. He's going to hear that call. He's going to recognize what God's done in his own life. And there's no way with the gratitude that he looks at and says, God, you've done so much for me. He's going to hear that call. He's going to say, God, how can I say anything but, here am I. Send me. Isaiah's going to feel unable, inadequate, and insecure. But when he sees this God high and lifted up, he's going to realize there's nothing this God cannot do. There's nothing that I should not do for this God for all he's done to me. 20 years ago, God saw you and beyond. 20 years ago, he knew there'd be a family that's hurting more than they ever knew that they could hurt. But he had already prepared the church, Christians, to reach out and love. I'm glad 20 years ago, I was able to be a part of that group that said, here am I. God, send me in today. Send me into this community. Send me into these families. Send me into the hurting. Send me to a place where people can come and teach them the Word of God. I am glad that over the 20 years, many of you have come. You felt the presence of God. You've heard Him speak to you. And you have said, here am I. Send me. Send me with these that you're sending. Send me with these that's going. Here am I. Send me. I want you this morning to think about God's call on your life. Isaiah was in the midst of a tragedy. Yet he could see God high and lifted up. Because of that, he could hear God say his call. Sending thee. But who will go? And Isaiah said, send me. This tragedy, Isaiah didn't say this tragedy means I'm unfit to go. Isaiah looked and said, this tragedy equips me to go. If you want to know why we've been a church that's been able to love you, that's come in, that's been displaced, that's been hurt somewhere else, that's been disappointed, that's been let down, it's because God allowed us to experience all those things ourselves, and that's what we were focused on. But those pains became our strength. And that weakness in our tragedy became the gift that enabled us to love and reach out. I want you to do something for me this morning. I want you to stand all around this building. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. We do that so that it's just a privacy. God, you just bow your head, close your eyes. It's not a time to think about leaving. It's a time to think about what God's done. I want you for the month of August. Think about God's call, how He brought you here, what led to it, what He's done in your life through it. I want you to recognize God's called me to serve. Because He already equipped and called others to serve. And you were helped because someone else said, here am I, send me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I asked my wife to come to the piano. Won't you first stop and thank the Lord for calling your life and enabled you to serve? Realize the person sitting in front of you, behind you, beside you. They also have answered the call. You're not not here by accident. You're here by the divine providence of God. He put people here to help you, heal you, love you. He put you here to help, heal, and love others. I want to open up this front, this altar, if you'd like to come. Would you just step out where you are and just come to a place, thank God, to a place of healing, a place of learning, a place of growth. You come, you can just kneel, come just stand. Join others. Come individually, you come with the family. You can just thank God. He is high, lifted up above all things. You can also recommit yourself to serve Him. You can come and in your own way, in your own words, say, here am I, God, send me. Send me. Send me along with this group that you're sending. Renew today this word. Renew your call. Renew your love to God. He's been good to you. With all that God's done, how can we not say, here am I, send me? You know, there's someone else that's hurting too. There's someone a few years down the road that's going to hurt beyond measure. They're going to need somebody that God sends to walk into their life. Be able to say, I know where you are. I've been there myself. I want you to know there's a God. And He loves you. And He overcomes. He heals. He restores. He builds. He's a great God. And I want you to know Him. The greatest thing that you'll ever do is share. Same love God shared with you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, today as we stand here, we are amazed and awed about the God that loves us, who's high and lifted up above all things. You are great. You're amazing. You're loving. You're kind. Most of all, you're faithful. Thank you again today for all that you've done in our lives. Thank you for 20 years ago. You gave a call that's put us here 20 years later. It looks over the years, the people, the healing, the help, the teaching, the conviction, the salvation, the miracles. Thanks for letting us be a part of it. Continue to call people to serve. Continue to let us love people where they are. Continue healing. Continue saving. God, we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a few moments. I do have a few announcements going. We do our announcements here at the end. It helps us get